Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And we, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Today, how that change depends on believers renouncing sin in their lives. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 to find out how the glory of God changes us.
Well, the question before us today is very simply put like this. How does God change us? You wives did bring your husbands, didn't you? Because you knew I was going to speak on this topic. How does God bring about a transformation within the human heart? I'm talking about the change that is so deep that you begin to hate what you once loved and love what you once hated. How is that brought about? Now, there are two barriers that exist between us and that kind of change. And the first barrier is our love of sin. We love it. You ask an alcoholic to part with his precious bottle, and to him, it is unthinkable. You ask a person who's into pornography to give up his pornography. What is going to cause him to do that when the appetite has been so strongly cultivated, perhaps even for years? How do you bring about a change? Or you think about somebody who harbors bitterness and anger. To them, it is of great comfort that they can have these feelings, because these feelings seem so right and so just and so justifiable. And yet, at the same time, those feelings may be destroying them, but who cares about being destroyed? What I'm thinking about is only right, we say to ourselves. So how do you dislodge that? Well, this message is on transformation. Another problem that we have is the love of ease. Basically, all of us probably are lazy, at least lazy about some things. We'd like to become spiritual by osmosis. We'd like it to happen while we are asleep. Wouldn't it be wonderful to go to sleep worldly and wake up with a heart that is hot for God? And that's what we'd prefer. But transformation doesn't come that easily. And there's a lot of pain, but there is a way. Everything that I say in this message is important. The intro is important, and the middle is important, and the conclusion is absolutely crucial. So you stay with me. But because we're asking God for such a great miracle to actually change human nature and to change what we once loved, we're asking for a huge, huge transformation to take place. I think what we need to do is to pray one more time. Would you bow with me? And in bowing with me, would you ask God to grant you the grace to do whatever he points out in your life needs to be done to be changed by his power? Father, we are helpless in the face of our loves. And so we ask that you'll change us. For those who come today with arms folded, hard hearts, intending to not change, we pray that you might surprise them with the mighty work of your Holy Spirit. And may all of us, in one way or another, be changed today for the better, for the glory of God. Because after all, there is nothing else that matters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The text today is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul is contrasting the old covenant with the new. That's on page 965. He is contrasting the old covenant with the new covenant. And what he's saying basically is that there was nothing wrong with the old covenant, but it was insufficient. It is now superseded by a new relationship with God that could have never been fully understood in Old Testament times. And so he's talking about Moses going into the presence of God, and this is what he says in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. In the Old Testament, in chapter 34 in Exodus, it says that when Moses came down from the mountain, his face shone, and he didn't even know it. There's such a thing as unconscious godliness. Have you met a person like that? You see Christ all over their face, but they don't know it. It is just the reflection of Jesus after years of walking with him, and they're unconscious of how they do reflect him. Well, Moses was up with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and you can imagine when he came down, he was just glowing. And he was in the presence of God without the veil, but when he came down and spoke to the people afterwards, he put on the veil because he didn't want to let them see that the glory that was on his face was fading. And Paul says that was symbolic of the fact that the old covenant was fading. And the new covenant has come. And then Paul, thinking about this veil, switches its use of the word, his use of the word. You've all had that happen. You're talking about something and an idea is triggered by what is said, and then you go off on a slightly different direction. That's what Paul does. He now likens the veil that Moses had over his face to the veil that is over some people's minds. And this is what he says. Verse 14, "But their minds were hardened. For to this day, when they read the old covenant, the same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." You see, the Apostle Paul goes from the veil that Moses wore to the veil that is over a hard heart. A heart that cannot see the truth, a heart that does not love the truth and does not want to see it. And he's saying that even today, and certainly this is true today, among our Jewish friends, many of our Jewish friends, who simply do not see Jesus Christ as Messiah, it is as if there is a veil over their minds. But the same is true of Gentiles, of course, as we shall see in a moment. Veils can be over our minds as well, so that we just don't get it. The facts are there, the rationale is there, but we don't understand because we don't prefer to understand. And now Paul begins to contrast the old and the new and how we fit into the new. And this is where the transformation begins to happen. But I have a question for you. Do you think that after being on the mountain and coming down there in the presence of God and now in the presence of the people, do you think Moses was changed? Did he come down from that mountain still loving sin? I don't think so. I think it's hard to be in the presence of God and to remain unchanged. And certainly Moses, who spoke to God face to face, was permanently changed by the encounter. His desires, his aptitude, all that he was as a person was changed by God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you were Moses? Wouldn't it be wonderful to live back in the Old Testament times when Moses could go into God's presence and be transformed? What the Apostle Paul is going to say is that in this new covenant, we are much better off than the old covenant. And the privilege that God gave Moses is a privilege now that is open to everybody for the same transformation, and perhaps even a deeper one. Now, what I'd like to do is to give you four advantages, four advantages that the new covenant has that the old didn't, how you and I fit into it, and why this should change our lives, our behavior, and our aptitudes. First of all, you'll notice now in verse 18, and it's the focus for what I have to say. Verse 18, and we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That's the verse, and we're going to look at it phrase by phrase. First of all, in this new covenant era, we have greater opportunity. Notice the little phrase, and we all. The opportunity that Moses had is going to be given to everyone. When Moses went high into the mountain, the people were to stand back. In fact, at Sinai, there was a fence put around the mountain, and God says, "Don't you dare come near. Stand back. God's presence is coming." Yes, my friend, around Sinai there was that fence that said, "Stand back." Isn't it wonderful to know that in the New Testament we are invited to come? As it says in the book of Hebrews, we have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched, but we have come to Mount Zion. And so today God invites us. As you know, this is a series of messages titled, "Nothing Else Matters." It is entitled that because it is the glory of God that gives meaning to all of life. I began this series of messages by emphasizing that when we really do live for God's glory, it simplifies our lives. Because no longer do a lot of distractions become so important to us, because it isn't so much important whether we are successful or even whether or not we're healthy, though that, of course, is important in its own way. At the end of the day, what really matters is the glory of God. I hope that you've enjoyed this series so far, and of course there's more to follow. And at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given some information, but I'd also like to give us a website that you can go to if you want these messages, so you can listen to them again and again. You go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. And when you go there, always keep in mind that we are dependent upon you for your prayers, for your encouragement, for your gifts. So many of you have connected with us, and you've told us that this is a blessing to you. I hope that others of you who perhaps have never written or you have never connected on the website, that you'll do so. We appreciate your friendship and your involvement. Thanks again for joining us today on Running to Win. I look forward to seeing you right here next time.
Erwin Lutzer has begun How the Glory of God Changes Us, the seventh message in a 9-part series on Nothing Else Matters, How the Glory of God Gives Meaning to All of Life. Next time, more on beholding God with an unveiled face. We'd like to send you the entire series on the glory of God on CD. It's our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.